I'm very much aware of the fact that, and I hope you are as well, that when we gather on Sunday mornings, we gather week to week where some of us are here every week, some are off on vacations from time to time or doing other things. But God has us here by His design right now. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you really do. And I hope you understand that you're here today for a reason. As Chris prayed, he talked about about the realm of the Spirit. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking from Ephesians chapter 6. And, you know, I've come back to this before, and I wonder, as a pastor, I wonder, having sat through many messages myself, are we aware of the fact that there really is a battle raging all around us? And it's not just the other guy's battle, it's ours as well. Spiritual warfare has been taking place in our homes, in our cars, on the street, in our neighborhoods. Spiritual warfare takes place in our schools, in our Christian school, among our staff and parents and students. Spiritual warfare is a real deal. It's a real deal. Because the enemy of our soul wants to convince us that we're losers. The enemy of our souls wants us to be absolutely convinced that there is no victory, period, the end. There is none. You might as well just throw in the towel. The enemy of our soul wants us to believe that this truth is for somebody else. It's not really for me. It's not for me. So I want to encourage you this morning to take out your notes. And there's room and there's some headings for you to take a lot of different notes. I hope you will write down some scriptures. I hope you'll pay attention because this message is for you. I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you. I'm talking about you because I'm also talking about me. God Almighty knows how many times that the enemy of our soul has been nicking away and hammering away at me all week. You think I could do a series on spiritual warfare and come out of this smelling like a rose? You think so? Come on. None of us is immune to this. And all of us, the enemy wants to just hammer away at us. And even for people who are well-versed in God's word, the enemy kind of goes, did God really say that? Come on. Throw in the towel. This is real stuff. Now, in our family, you'll notice in your notes, if you've got them out right now, you'll notice that in our family, we've done our share of sword fighting. Now, we'll never win an Olympic gold or bronze or anything else. But I mean, I want to tell you, ours is a swashbuckling family. And fortunately, it's with Nerf swords. I remember once when I was growing up, and I had three younger sisters, and I can guarantee if they by any chance might go on our website and listen to my message, they will say, yeah, he hit me a few times with what he called a sword, but it was like a curtain rod or something like that. Once it was probably one of my crutches when I broke my leg. I ran into my youth pastor, broke my leg, and I used to use my crutches, you know, to just kind of encourage my sisters to help me out. And but you know, we've done our sword fighting, and I love the fact that I can still picture many, many times in our backyard with some of my grandchildren with great glee just pounding me with those Nerf swords. But it was fun, and I think I kind of laughed my way through it. But you know, folks, the sword of the Spirit that God is talking about in His Word is one of those pieces of armor with which we do battle. And I'm not talking about just throwing out a verse here and there. I'm talking about letting the Word of God lay hold of our minds and hearts. I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. That would be page 11 1160, I believe, in the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 1160. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I want to put this all under this context. Remember, in the previous chapter, chapter 5, Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. None of the things that God asks us to do are we capable of doing with any degree of effectiveness unless we are doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And people who are filled with the Holy Spirit employ the armor of God that he has made available to us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read verses 10 through 18 once again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Where are you going to get your strength? In the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the real battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, for everyone in this room and every follower of Christ, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, day after day, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth around your waist, because the enemy of our soul is going to lie like crazy. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. Father, may we be alert today as we think about the reality, the truth of your word. And I pray that none of us would be comfortable sitting here this morning thinking this is for somebody else. I pray that each one of us would personalize this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, we've experienced, Marilyn and I have experienced some personal loss in this past month, big time personal loss. We had a friend die of complications from Parkinson's disease. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Matter of fact, I was in love with her. She was Marilyn's best friend, and she was in our youth group, and I loved Diana. Man, she was beautiful, and just a part of our group. But she married Bob, and off she moved. But long before she married Bob, and off she moved, I just hung out with Marilyn in our youth group and kept on asking her, what do you think Diana thinks of me? Come on, you've done stuff like that too, right? I know. We've probably all done that kind of a thing. And so, you know, what do you think? What do you think she thinks about me? And I spent so much time talking to Marilyn about her friend Diana that I went, man, you're the one I like. And man, I can see myself standing on 50th and Zenith, her street, as we stood in the corner one at evening, and I went, man, you're an idiot. It's right here in front of you. And God provided a marvelous thing for me. Sorry, Marilyn. But Diana was a really, really neat, godly lady, and she remained a really strong woman of God, really strong woman of God, all the way to the end. We lost another friend, it was a time when I was much younger that I thought this would have been really old, about time you thought about dying. But we lost another friend this week. Matter of fact, last Sunday. And Joan and her husband had come out to visit us, and we spent New Year's with them, and then they took us to the Rose Parade. They took us to the Rose Bowl. They had graduated from the University of Iowa, and so we sat with them in the Iowa Hawkeye section and watched all the people around us groan as they lost big time in the Rose Bowl. But Joan had become, in the many, many years since we knew them, dating back to 1978, Joan had become a really neat, godly woman for whom the Word of God had become very, very, very real. And she didn't know that she was ill. But she shared so much with us, so much. In a sense, it was almost so totally unexpected with what she shared with us when they were here in January. And she left us with some amazing connections to God's Word. And as I go on in the message, I'm going to share just a little bit of that with you in a very, very practical way. Now, as you look at your notes, you'll notice that the first point is that we all need to remember that the sword of the Spirit, remember that the Word of God is the Holy Spirit's Word. Never forget it. It's not just a neat, cool, leather-bound or electronic bit of wisdom that you hold in your hands. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit's sword. I wonder if you'd say that with me. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. Not yours, okay? Let's say it. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. I would hope that that would be emblazoned on your mind and heart and mine. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. He was the one who, working with 40 different people across 1,500 years, impressed upon their minds and hearts and through their personalities, this is what I want you to communicate to my people. Communicate this to my people. It was the Holy Spirit who was doing this. How do I know that? In the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verses 20 and 21. Just write that note down. It says that holy men of God didn't say what they wanted to say. They were moved along by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote through their personalities and through their pens what God wanted them to communicate for God's people for all time, for as long as this world will exist. Remember, the Word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. I was thinking about when we travel with our eighth graders out east. We see a lot of statues, and we hear a lot of, especially the first few days, about the revolution, the American Revolution. And I know some people, I heard somebody say recently, boy, I think that we're heading for a revolution in this country. Almost like, I mean, I don't know what they think. Is this going to be a social revolution? Is this going to be some political revolution? Listen, revolutions are really, really super serious and very, very bloody. They always have been and always will be. I don't want to think about that in any sort of light way. But there were three standout figures, and if you go to Virginia and you go to the capital of Virginia, there's this monumental statue. It's got George Washington on the top, and you've got all these famous Virginians all around, and they're holding various things in their hands. It's just it's a stunning, stunning piece of art, stunning statue. But it's got... three people stand out among all the people on there. One is Thomas Jefferson, who was called the pen of the Revolution. He was the pen of the Revolution. Why? What did he write? Don't say the Constitution. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. Patrick Henry was called what? Anybody know? He was referred to as the voice of the Revolution. And to many people, he was the obnoxious voice of the Revolution. But who could forget that speech? Give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. And the sword of the Revolution was whom? Who commanded the revolutionary forces? George Washington, the sword of the Revolution. Folks, the Holy Spirit is all of them and more. All of them is more. Because the one who inspired, and write down this text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says that all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired. God breathed into the minds and hearts of the people who wrote it. This is no ordinary book. Think about this. What book would stand the test of time for thousands of years? Thousands of years, and ring true in every generation. Oh, it's just an old book. An old book that's as true today as it was then. I think of what the scripture that Chris read this morning. Write down Hebrews chapter 4, verses, what were they, Chris? 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. It says there that the sword of God, the word of God, is a double-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. What's that about? This is what it is for every person here. When you come here, come awake, come alert, come expectant. Come asking God to speak to you in the stillness of it all. I remember one of my kids worked at California Grill for a few months during college, and was told by the owner, he communicated to all of his servers, when you come to work here, leave your pager at home, leave your cell phone at home. It is not to be here in this place. And get enough sleep when you come to work here, because if you're sleepy, I'm going to send you home, and you don't need to come back. Whoa! When you're working for me, come awake. Well, folks, when you come to Sunday mornings, come alert, come awake, come expectant to hear from God. Because the Word of God is living and active. And it's a double-edged sword, and in both sides of the blade cut right to the core of who we are. That's how powerful this word is. Don't ever say, I didn't hear from God. My pastor just didn't do it today. Maybe I wasn't on my A game, but I can tell you the Word of God is on the A game every single day. So come expectant and come alert. Come to hear from God. Remember, this is the Spirit's sword, and He wants to get through to every single one of us. I want you to turn back a few books, and still in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have a Bible with you, what did you come without today? Oh, you're pretty vulnerable right now without your sword, because the battle is for real. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. By the way, I love, when I work with guys in Bible studies now, I love the fact that they're using their Bibles on their phone. It's okay, folks. It's great. And it's okay if you're using your phone right now as long as you're only using it for this. No reading emails, no sending text messages, period. If the person next to you is doing that, please give them a sharp elbow. If I see you jump, I know what's happening right there. Look at John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Jesus, I'll read verse 25. He says, "All this I have spoken." This is the last night he's with his disciples. "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Wow. Physically, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to still be here. But I'm sending the Holy Spirit to reside in you. And he will bring to your remembrance everything I said to you. He's here. He is the one. This is his sword. John chapter 15. If you're in chapter 14 of John, just the very next chapter. Verse 7. After Jesus has been saying, "Remain in me, if you don't remain in me, you're going to be on your own, and it's going to be trouble all the way. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you remain in me and what remains in you? My words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you." What will you be asking for if God's word remains in you? You'll be asking for his will. No problem. He delights in giving us his will. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. I won't turn to it, but there the psalmist says, "How blessed is the man who doesn't walk and sit and stand with those who are pursuing evil." But it says, "But the person who's not there, walking, sitting, standing with evil, that person's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that yields its fruit in its season." Just exactly what God wants. Why? If we delight in the Lord and meditate in his word day and night. There's many more texts. Just write this reference down. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. Deuteronomy 32, verses 46 and 47. Take to heart the words by which I am warning you today. These are no empty words, but your very life. Are the words important? They are to be our life. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, Jesus tempted in the wilderness. And what does he do throughout all of those three hideous, horrible temptations? He speaks God's word clearly back to the enemy. So remember, the word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. And he fully intends to use it. And it will get to every one of our hearts if we come to his word expectant and yielded and alert. The second point in the message, the second major point, is handle God's word correctly. Handle it correctly. Kind of a little subtitle, I would say, is get a grip on it. Get a grip. Get a grip on the Word of God. What are you doing to get a grip on the Word of God? Are you getting a better grip as the battle goes on? Listen, this is a serious question. Write yourself a question in your notes. And I hope you're writing. I don't think anybody here has maybe you've got a photographic memory, but the battle is raging, and we should get a better and better grip on the Word of God in the midst of it all. Some of you are familiar with Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I'm going to read a couple quotes. This almost sounds like the original King James Bible, and it was written at the time when that was the number one Bible in the land, and there weren't so many different translations. But Pilgrim's Progress, this is some profound truth about the battle that rages all around us. In Pilgrim's Progress, one, the section I'm going to read, Mr. Valiant for the Truth said to Mr. Greatheart, then said Mr. Valiant for the Truth, it is so, let a man have one of these blades with a hand to wield it and the skill to use it, and he may venture upon an angel with it. He need not fear its holding if he can but tell how to lay on to it. Its edges will never blunt. Whew, that's good. The Word of God's edges will never blunt. It will cut flesh and bones and soul and spirit. Another section from Valiant for the Truth. I fought till my sword did cleave to my hand. And then they were joined together as the sword grew out of my arm. And when the blood runs through my fingers, then I fought with the most courage. And Greatheart said, thou hast done well. Thou hast resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Thou wilt abide by us. Come in and go out with us, for we are your companions. How are we going to get a hold of the Word of God? Now, I want to say right off the top, write yourself a little question, please, if you would. What's my journey? What has my personal journey with the Word of God been like? What's it been like? Some of us would say, and I'll give you some of my journey. There have been times when Marilyn and I were in the same Sunday school classes as high school students, and then on into out into college. There were times that I didn't. I had an excuse. I had a job on Sundays when I was in college, and I didn't so much want to go to Sunday school, because when we went, my experience with the reading of the Word of God was, man, I just about panicked if we were going to read it in church. I mean, in that class together. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to each read a verse. And I'm thinking, I'm just a terrible reader. And they start around the circle, and maybe some of you used to do this. I'd count. I'm going, I've got verse 17. And then the turkey next to me read two verses. And all of a sudden, I get the names, you know, or whatever. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm just tripping over my tongue. But there were other times that the Word of God, people would say, my pastor, my youth pastor, my friends, my college friends who were godly people, you know, it's so hard to understand, and I don't so much like to read. And I'm really, really busy. They talk about reading God's Word every single day. I'm going, you know, you understand the schedule I've got as a student, and as I've got a job, and I'm involved in sports, and I've got a girlfriend, and it's tough to get at the Word of God. And then we got married, and I'm off in seminary, and they'd have the audacity to say, now don't use your time in the Word of God studying to prepare a message as if that's your time alone with God. You know, you've got to spend time alone with God. They kept raising the bar of standards, you know. Read it and write notes and study and journal. And I'm going, I don't have time in the day to do all this. Well, so what do you do? Well, we start here. I've got just a few simple points I want to just talk about just a little bit here. Get a hand on it. Get a grip on the Word of God. Read it daily. Now, I know a ton of you have one of these things. And if it's a smartphone, you can actually access so many, many different versions of the Bible. You know, take your pick. But you can literally put on these things a Bible reading plan. And every single day, you can begin. I mean, if you're not used to reading the Bible, then just have a Bible reading plan. A verse pops up. Somewhere along the line, somebody gave me, maybe I just clicked because it sounded kind of interesting, on a devotional. And I used to poo-poo devotionals. And I really did. I thought, devotionals, why let somebody else do your thinking for you? Sorry to those who really like devotionals and have liked them for a long time. Well, I was too good for devotionals, but then I started, wow, this one kept on popping up on my phone every day. And it was from Johnny Erickson Tada, and a woman who's paralyzed after a diving accident from the neck down. And she writes, she'll start out with a verse of scripture. That alone would be worth the price of admission. That alone, there it is. And then she writes like three little paragraphs about that. And then she writes a prayer. And you know what? Her devotionals knock it out of the park every single time. Every day, day in and day out. And I look forward to seeing them come up on my phone. Some of you, you know, maybe you're moving on. You want a little bit more. In fact, we should, as we start reading God's word, it should be more and more engaging. More and more, to the point that we would say with the psalmist, in Psalm 119, and George Jr. read from Psalm 119. It's like every one of these paragraphs deals with the word of God for 172 verses. Little paragraphs about 6 to 8 verses long, dealing with the word. And one of my favorite is verse 18 of Psalm 119. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see wonderful things from your law, from your word. Open my eyes. And the text that he read today, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, right? It's worshipful and it's full of instruction. Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. Powerful. Such a powerful text. Read it daily. And let God and come with an attitude, alert attitude of joy. And you might have to start small. Go ahead and start small. But have a plan to meet with God every day and read his word. Just read his word. And some of you might get on a plan, and they are so easy. And I remember when I tried a plan that would have me read from four different sections of the Bible. I wanted to read all the way through the Bible in a year. And then, you know, life happens. So, I mean, man, I'm about 8 days behind and whatnot. Now I use the chronological Bible that will get me through. It's about three chapters a day. And it's like the first thing for me. It wasn't always this way, but for like the last 10 years, it's like, whoa, I don't want to miss this. And even when I'm in the prophets, and the prophets just beat up on everybody. But it's like, you know, can you imagine? I mean, I would never have guessed that reading the book of Jeremiah would be something I would really look forward to. He's the weeping prophet. It's beautiful what God's word says about him and how seriously he takes sin. And he won't put up with it. But he wants to pull his people back and pull them back. I shared with the elders this week and with our teachers, our staff this week. In Jeremiah chapter 29, he talks about false prophets. Jeremiah the prophet talks about false prophets. And he says, God says this, all these people that are prophesying for me, I didn't give them those words. I didn't give them those words. But then through Jeremiah, he says, this is what I want you to say to my people. I know the plans I have for you. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So when you're in that place of judgment in Babylon, go ahead and build houses and plant gardens and have children. You're going to be there for a long time. And make a difference where you're living there in Babylon. Make a difference. Because I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Man, are those words for today? Some people think this is worse than Babylon. The world today, and maybe even this country. So read God's word daily. Meditate on it day and night, the second point. Meditate on it day and night. Chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. God says this, if you will think about my word, think about my word day and night. Chew on it. Where's God going with this? Where's he going with this? That's just chewing on it. Think about it. I wonder what he meant there. I wonder, as I chew on it, how do I see that happening in other places in Scripture? How do I see this is true in the world all around me? Think about it. How have I blown it this week with my family? As I've pressed my wife or pressed my kids or pressed somebody else saying the same thing over and over and over again, and I was being used by the enemy to discourage somebody else. When I meditate on it day and night, I'm allowing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who holds the sword in my life, I'm allowing him to get through to me right now. What would you do? What would you do? Okay, here's the test question. Serious test question. This one's going to be on the test every day of your life. Every day of your life, okay? So the test is going to go on every day. What are you going to tell somebody, one of your friends, or a family member, if they come up to you and say, what have you heard from God lately? How about this? Lately? You know, you might have to go back a few months or years. Maybe it was to what you heard the pastor say. But what has God said to you today? Today. What would you say? Man, I don't remember what I had for breakfast. Are you serious? What? Come on, for real? Yeah, for real. What has he said to you today? Well, what was it you said, Pastor? What verse was that? You know, I don't care where you got it, as long as it's from God's word. What has he said to you today? If we're meditating on God's word day and night, and we get into practice, we're practiced. Excuse me. I remember when a pastor that I was working with, he talked about a friend of his. I don't know his friend's name, but he said to me, and this pastor friend was a most amazing preacher. He said, I never spoke with this friend when he didn't have a fresh word of God for me. It was as present as the breath he was breathing. And he was eager just to say, you know, God is communicating this. And it was no brag, no brag. It was just as fresh as right now. How does that happen? We think about it. Here's the challenge. When you're riding, when you are just alone, in the next 24 hours, I don't care if it's in the bathroom, in the car, out for a walk, watering the lawn, just stop and think. Just say, Lord, what was it you wanted me to remember from church today? Or from, what was it that I read this morning in your word? Would you just bring it to my mind right now? Just bring it to my mind. Do you think God will bring it to your mind? Do you think it will? Sure he will. Sure he will. He tells us if you'll meditate on my word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and you'll bear fruit. Do you think God wants you to bear fruit? Of course he does. So just say, Lord, let's see, what was that? What was that? I just read this morning. Okay. I try to discipline myself when I come here with the elders for prayer on Friday mornings. What was it? What was it that I just read this morning at 6 o'clock in God's word. What was it? What was so captivating about that? So meditate on his day, his word, day and night, day and night. Commit to memory some verses. I can't do that. How many of you would say, I can't memorize? Don't raise your hand, please. I'll call you out on it. I know you can memorize. I know. I mean, even if it's just a fragment of a verse, as long as you understand it in that context, just a fragment, maybe you can build on it. You can build on that. I told you about my friend Joan at the beginning of this message. When Joan was with us, she said, you know, in the last few years, I've memorized, and she was 67 years old now. She said, in the last few years, I've memorized over 200 verses. I thought, how cool. How cool that Joan memorized 200 verses. Now, you want to know why it was really cool? Because I'll tell you, my friend Joan had dealt with a lot of spiritual warfare. In fact, when she and her husband were in our church back in Minnesota, and they were part of a new church plant, and Joan's husband was this driven, successful lawyer. And Joan was not working outside of the home, and she was raising a couple of boys, but Joan suffered from really super serious anxiety and depression. And it's like everybody she went to talk to, all of her friends in this new church plant, you know, everybody would just kind of go, that's just Joni. You know, Joni's, you know, she's always got problems, you know, honestly. It was like they were her friends, but come on, she's just got problems. And she went to professional counselors, and she got help. She did get help from those counselors. But if she was spewing out her life's journey, Joan's friends would say, well, in the Bible, and she's going, oh, quit giving me a verse. Would you just listen to me? Just listen to me. Just listen. And people would say to Joan, the answer to your problems would be, read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. And I would say there was a time when Joan hated that prescription. She hated it. But boy, when we talked to her in January, she said, happily, not proudly, I've memorized over 200 verses. And they were key verses. And they were key verses that became the subject, just key verses, word for word. The key verses that she memorized and she wrote down on pretty little note cards. And then she'd laminate pages and pages of these pretty little note cards. And she'd put them in her purse. And she took them everywhere she went. And she put some in some cheap little frames that she got at Savers. She and her husband were exceedingly well off financially. But she'd go to Savers and get all sorts of bargains and frames, and she'd put them in frames. But she carried a whole bunch of these always in her purse. And they were her verses. They were just powerful, knock it out of the park, standalone verses. But they'd run through her life. And she'd be standing in a checkout line at the grocery store. And she'd be talking to the people around her, and she'd say, as she's talking, can I just give you one of these? This has really meant a lot to me. That's all. You know, that's all. Just meant a lot to me. I know I've said this to you back a few months ago. Some of you heard me say this, but I'm just stunned. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have. 1 Peter 3:15. She was ready. in her mind, in her heart, and in her hands. So the Word of God ran through her eyes and through her mind and pressed down into her heart, and she'd write these cards, hundreds of cards, and hundreds of laminated verses. She'd put them in the, like I say, these cheap frames. He will put a new song in my mouth, in a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 30. In a cheap little plastic frame with little artwork here, some music notes. He'll put a new song in my heart. Because the Word of God had become the best medicine in her life. And as she slept away last Sunday morning, she was ready. Man, was she ready. Who knows why she died, apart from the fact that the Lord just said, it's now, Joni, it's now. Commit it to memory. Study it with expectations. Incorporate God's Word into your prayer life. We've got friends. You know, Chris was praying for some of our friends today. Incorporate God's Word into your prayer life. Incorporate God's Word into your prayers. How do you know what to pray for your friends who are struggling? I'm not talking about zipping them. Here's a magic bullet prayer verse right now. How do you just, without even telling them what you're praying for, how do you pray for them that is according to God's will and His ways? Do you pray His word for them? How do you pray when a friend says, pray for us? We feel so weak physically. We feel so weak emotionally and spiritually. What do you pray for your Christian friend or a non-Christian friend? Incorporate God's word that is laying hold of you into your prayers for your family and friends. And finally, pay attention. Pay attention to God's word as we worship. Part of worship here on Sunday mornings, part of worship is singing. And we were singing some songs today. Were you mindful at all of how those songs that were put up on the screen, was any scripture coming to your mind? If we are immersing ourselves in God's word, ready to do battle with the enemy of our souls, if we are immersing ourselves in God's word, when we see the songs that we're singing, we go, oh, yeah, that's what I was just reading about that. How true is that? These were not just words that were pulled out and a bunch of notes just attached to them. Those words were inspired, coming from some truth in God's word. As you see the words up here on the screen when we're singing, remember how this came right out of God's word. This song is so true in God's word, and it's true in my life. Remember, the word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. And get a grip on it. The battle will rage. Guaranteed in the next 24 hours in all of our lives. Because the enemy is for real. Father, I thank you for your word. Thanks for not leaving us alone, for giving us your word. And I pray that we would pay attention to it, that we would read it well, that we would meditate on it day and night, that we'd commit it, even just phrases, for your Spirit to use in our lives, commit it to memory, that we would study it with anticipation, that we would incorporate it into our prayer life and that we would pay attention to it as we worship. Lord, may your word fit us for battle. We pray this now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.